Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing, are we to judge? Now the Bible states God is the judge of all. God has the authority to judge, and he is righteous in his judgment. Now God sees past the outward appearance and judges the thoughts, the intents, and the motives of the heart, as Hebrews 4:12 states.
But what does the Bible say about us in this regard? On the surface, some people think this issue is unclear and a bit controversial. However, with a little investigation, we'll gain the understanding needed to navigate this topic in a sound biblical manner today.
That's right.
You know, there are two types of judging. One is to judge a person and condemn them. The Bible instructs us not to do such a thing, as we do not have the authority. We do not know their heart. In addition, we are not qualified to judge a person. We are sinners. You know, we've been saved by grace as Christians, but, you know, how can a sinner make such a determination? Only Jesus knows the thoughts and intents of our heart.
Right. Now, the other type of judging that we are instructed to do is to discern whether what a person is teaching is scriptural and if their actions or behavior contradict God's word. We are to judge a matter or the events or circumstances of a particular situation and not the person. We can judge a behavior without condemning the person.
That's a good point. You know, these are some verses that instruct us not to judge or condemn others. And I'm sure there's many more, but we're going to just look at a few. Matthew 7:1 through 5 starts out, "Judge not that you be not judged." Romans 2:1 through 3 also begins, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge." And Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge another's servant?" And lastly, Romans 14:10 states, "But why do you judge your brother?"
Those are clear. But next, we will look at some of the scriptures that instruct us to judge, but judge a person's teachings, their behavior, and their actions, but not their final outcome. John 7:24 says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment."
Oh, that's a great scripture. You know, Bill, and there's a case in 1 Corinthians 5:1-5, and it's a case of sexual immorality. And Paul tells the church that they must remove this sinful man from the church and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns.
Right, that's a good case.
And Paul said that he has judged the man's actions and that they should call a meeting of the church to come to the same conclusion and throw the man out of the church.
Right. That's good. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, "But now have I written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, not even to eat with such a person." Now, for us to observe what the above verse states would require discernment on that person's lifestyle. We would not be judging the person, but their actions. You know, Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." Here we are to discern their character, have nothing to do with them, and even expose them. Now, if we associate with such a person, our association with them would reflect poorly on what it means to be a Christian. Now, if the person turns from their sin and repents, then fellow believers have a responsibility to restore them into fellowship.
Yes, that's true. You know, and Bill, also in 1 Corinthians 5:12 through 13, it states, "It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you." So Paul was saying to the Corinthian church that we should judge the believers, but not the unbelievers. We would again be judging their actions and words and having no association with the ungodly person.
Boy, that's a good verse. That's very clear. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 4 says, it speaks of judging and settling disputes among Christians. Christians should not have to go to court against one another and have a secular court decide or judge their dispute. Jesus also pointed this out in Matthew 18:15. And it says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Well, this again involves judging a matter. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:15 says, I speak to wise men. Judge what I say. We are to judge what other Christians say or teach. We are not judging the person, but what they say.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Bill, but there's also just something to point out, you know, on the internet today and online, there are many, you know, so-called Christians who judge other ministries, ministers, and believers, and they actually, though, do it in a slanderous, condemning way. And this is not what God is talking about in the Word. We are not to be judging one another and condemning one another and slandering one another. And a lot of times these people are judging others' doctrine, but their doctrine is incorrect.
Exactly. So I know that's wrong. That's unscriptural to do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to point, you know, mention that because that is not an example of how we're not called to police the body of Christ.
Exactly. Right.
You know, and then another example in Acts 8, 18 through 23, it says, then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. Now, this is an interesting one because this definitely took discernment on Peter's part.
Right.
But it's also interesting to note that Peter was in authority. He was one of the apostles, and he did judge or discern that Simon's heart was not right with God. He didn't condemn Simon, but he discerned that what he said was evil, and he definitely told him to repent.
Well, that's a good, clear case. You know, Jesus also told us in Matthew 7:15 to be aware of false prophets. He said we would know them by their fruits. We are to observe the results of their ministry. You know, if there is no fruit, then they are wolves in sheep's clothing. This is, again, discerning the character of the person and their results. You know, Philippians 2:22 states, but you know his proven character. But you know his proven character. He just stated we should be able to discern character. 1 John 4:1 states, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. In other words, discern a false spirit. So there is no contradiction in the Word of God regarding this matter.
Yeah, that's good, Bill. And you know, when it 1 John 4:1 you read, you know, it says to test the spirit. You know, we're also to test the attitude behind what's being taught.
Right.
You know, attitude, if it's harsh and condemning and legalistic, we need to discern that as well.
Right.
Anyways, and then to go on, I just wanted to also mention that there was a man who asked Jesus to judge a situation in Luke 12, 13 and 14. And he said his brother was cheating him out of his inheritance. Jesus responded with, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Jesus was saying he didn't have that authority over him, but that the courts, the elders, or the Sanhedrin have that authority.
That's really a good point. You know, also when Moses found two Israelites fighting in Exodus 2, 13 and 14, he said, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then the man said, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" Now Moses didn't have the authority to intervene, yet I understand why he would have. He simply wanted to stop the evil. But the man pointed out that Moses had no authority to stop him. This may have been from a legal standpoint, but not a moral one.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this is all going hand in hand about the judging and authority.
Right.
You know, to have righteous judgment, you have to have that authority to do so. You know, and in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot tried to stop the men from attacking the angels. But the men of the city said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge."
Right. Lot was just a visitor in the city and not of their people or their nation. So the men were pointing out that he had no authority over them. However, Genesis 19:1 says that Lot sat in the gate. Now, this meant he was either a prominent person or could mean that he was actually a judge. Genesis 19:9 says, "But they," the evil men, "said, 'Get out of the way.' And they said, 'This man Lot came as an outsider to live here temporarily, and now he is acting like a judge.'" So they did not acknowledge his authority since he was a foreigner. However, that again doesn't mean we don't try and stop wickedness. Their conduct was despicable and abusive. He was right in his attempt to stop them.
Absolutely. You know, and Bill, we see that God gave Jesus all authority in Matthew 28:18 to judge for two reasons. You know, first in John 5:23, it says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. In order to see that all people honor the Son, God made him judge. In any court of law, the one with the honor is the judge. You know, Jesus is the judge, as the judge is honored above all others.
That's right. That's really a good point. You know, and secondly, in John 5:27, it states, "The Father has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man." Now, Jesus was a man and had experienced all we encounter, as Hebrews 4:15 states. He understood all of man's issues and could relate, and he lived without sin and was then qualified to judge. And then we see that Jesus delegated all authority to his word in John 12:48. His word will now judge a person.
That is so true. And, you know, you always say this when you're talking about hell and sharing your experience, that their idle words, right, will right. judge them.
Their words will condemn them.
Condemn them, yes.
Matthew 12:37. So it's their own words going to judge them because they said, "I don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he's the Savior.
And he's the only way to heaven."
He's the only way. And he told them, "If you say that, your words will condemn you."
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So to sum it up, we are not to judge a person as to condemn them, as we know have no authority to do so, and we are not qualified. We are not to cast judgment for the final evaluation of anyone's character. It is in the hands of Jesus. We are also not to judge an unbeliever.
Right. However, we are to judge with righteous judgment, judge doctrine, recognize immorality and condemn it, and perceive evil motives. We are to use godly wisdom in judging and settling a matter if we have the authority to do so.
So the question is, will we violate God's word or obey it? As Christians, this is an area most of us need to work on. I know I've blown it in this area before.
We all have.
Especially judging unbelievers, because you see something so shocking and horrible in behavior. You know, it's easy to let your emotions fly.
Right.
And make comments that you shouldn't. You know, and it's easy to allow our emotions to rule us if we let them.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting too that today's society and culture are very quick to condemn anyone who doesn't agree with their wicked behavior, actions, and thinking. However, you know, as Christians, we are called to imitate Christ, not the world. So we really must be on guard and be quick to judge ourselves and not quick to find fault or judge others.
Right, good point. Actually, Jesus said in Luke 6, 41 and 42, to get the beam out of our own eye before we try and remove the splinter in someone else's. You know, and again, at the same time, we must grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's word so we can discern what is evil and what is good, what is a lie, and what is the truth.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.